As most of you are aware by now, and I hope you are, and if not, I'll just remind you, Tuesday is Valentine's Day. And I hope that you'll take the opportunity, take advantage of the day, and express in some way or another your love to your Valentine. And you say, well, what do you mean when you say my Valentine? I'm talking about your husband or your wife. I'm talking about your children. I'm talking about your parents, your grandparents, your grandchildren, those people and your friends. Those people in your life who you love. And I believe you have people in your life you love, you ought to tell them. And we ought to take advantage of days like Valentine's Day to tell them that. And as I mentioned in Sunday school, I heard in the open assembly, I heard that the average person in America spends $108 and some cents on Valentine's Day. And I said, and my point was that, you know, you don't, my point was I come up way below the average. But it may be one of those things you don't want to come up to the average, because I don't think you have to spend a lot of money. I think, as I mentioned in Sunday school, sometimes the simpler expressions of love are more valued than when you spend a lot of money trying to tell somebody you love them. And again, I'm not against flowers, I'm not against candy, I'm not against cards, but sometimes just a handwritten note. Sometimes just a little picture that a little child draws is much more valuable, I know it is to me, than somebody that tries to spend a lot of money. So I hope that you'll take advantage of the day and in some way or another let those that you love know about it. I think days like Valentine's Day are special to God. In the Bible, we read about the different feasts and holidays that he set up for his people. And it was a time when they would get together and they would fellowship with one another, sort of like we did last night. And they would be called upon to remember the different things that God had done for them. Sometimes it was things that he'd done in the distant past, like the Passover feast was a reminder that God gave to his people of what he did when he brought them out of Egypt. Other times it was a feast for what he'd just done for them, like the feast of the harvest that they had, to celebrate the harvest of that year that God had given them. And I think God enjoys holidays, and I think he really enjoys holidays where we tell each other that we love one another. Second greatest commandment in the Bible, after loving the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and might, is to love our neighbor as ourselves. And so I think God enjoys holidays where we take the time and we're reminded to tell each other that we love one another. And even though, and it spoke to me as I was driving to church this morning, I shared with the folks that were here last night about the origin of Valentine's Day and talked about sheepskin dipped in blood and all that other stuff. And it really has a pagan beginning. But isn't it wonderful how God can take something pagan and turn it into something so wonderful where we do express our love one toward another? I was really in seventh grade before I understood what Valentine's Day was all about. I had given Valentine's in grade school. You know, my mom would go out and buy the little box of a dollar Valentine's where you got 30 or 40 back then, and I'd send them to everybody in my class. You know, we'd have envelopes where every person had their name on an envelope. I say I was in seventh grade because, you know, when I was in grade school and when I was in the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth grade, I didn't pay much attention to girls. I knew they were different, but Thanks, Brother Bill. I'm glad you're listening. I knew they were different, but with baseball and dogs and tunnels. When I was a kid, I liked to dig tunnels. Sometime I'll tell you a story about what happened to my dad's garage as a result of one of the tunnels that I dug. And it's not to say I didn't have any association with girls. When I was in kindergarten, I had these two little girls that would chase me down and catch me and kiss me. And by the time I got in first grade, I got fast enough I could outrun them. And so I didn't have any problems. And so going through grade school, I didn't have any special Valentine except for my parents. But in the seventh grade, I met this girl. And I guess if you were going to call somebody your first love, she would be my first love. And Valentine's Day took on a whole new meaning for me when I got into the seventh grade. And there were three things that I learned about Valentine's Day when I was in the seventh grade, when I met my first love, that I want to share with you this morning and then make an application. The first thing I learned was that you give a Valentine to someone you love. I didn't really understand what love was in the seventh grade, but I knew I'd like to be around her. I'd like to spend time with her. And I knew that for some reason, I wanted to give her things. And as I began to understand and grow up a little bit, I understood that love always results in giving. Gift of time, gift of self, gift of things. When you love somebody, you want to give them something. And most giving, if not all giving, comes out of love. My mom and dad, when I was growing up, they didn't take care of me because they had to, just because it was their responsibility, although it was. But they did it because they loved me. And they gave me things because they loved me. And so when we love somebody, we want to give them things. We want to give them our time. We want to give of ourselves. I learned, second of all, that the sacrifice that you had to make to buy the gift expresses the depth of your love. In other words, if you really love somebody, you're going to give them something of value, perhaps something that cost you to give. And I've told this story. I've used this story in another sermon, and so some of you have heard it, but it makes the point that I want to make this morning, so I want to tell it again. I met this girl. In fact, there's only in the seventh grade, I only remember the names of three of my classmates. This girl that I'm talking about, another girl who decked me and almost knocked me out, and then this boy that I'm going to talk about. You see, when I noticed this girl, there was another boy that noticed her too. And so when Valentine's Day came, we sort of got into a little contest of who was going to give her the most expensive Valentine. So I went out, and when I was in the seventh grade, $3 was a lot of money to me. So I went out and I bought a $3 little box of candy. And so I was talking to Johnny Gannon. Johnny was the boy whose name I remember from the seventh grade. And I just mentioned to him, I said, "Oh, I got Sue a $3 box of candy." And John said, "That's nothing. I got her a $5 box of candy." Well, not to be outdone, I went back to the candy store and traded my $3 box of candy in for a $10 box of candy, which was about 4 months' allowance for me back in those days. So I came to school the next day and I said, "John, I got Sue a $10 box of candy." He came back the next day and he said, "That ain't nothing. I got her a $15 box of candy." So luckily the store where I was buying my candy had trade-ins if you hadn't opened them yet. So I took my $10 box of candy and I said, "You know, I'm just going to beat him once and for all." I bought her a $25 box of candy. I went to school the next day and I said, "John, $25 I spent on Sue's Valentine." He came back the next day and he said, "That ain't nothing. I got her one that cost $30. Now, I said to myself, there ain't no girl worth $30. Of course, I've learned things since then, ladies, okay? And later I found out that his dad was subsidizing his Valentines, and I was on my own. So, but again, just to use it as an example, to say when you love somebody, you sacrifice in order to be able to give. And then the third thing that I understood about Valentine's Day is that when you give somebody a Valentine, what you're hoping is that they love you back. I mean, I wanted to spend time with her. As I gave her my Valentine, I was hoping she'd want to spend time with me. I wanted to do things with her. I was hoping she'd want to do things with me. And so if you think about those three things when it comes to Valentine's Day, I want to submit to you this morning that God also understands Valentine's Day in the very same way. First of all, God understands that when you give a Valentine to someone, you give it to someone you love. Adam read John 3:16. I mentioned last night, if there's going to be a verse in the Bible that represents Valentine's Day, it's that verse, John 3:16. Oh, by the way, it represents Christmas and just about every other holiday that you can think of. And oh, by the way, it's a good verse for every Sunday too, John 3:16. But that verse says, "For God so loved the world that He gave." That He gave. Because He loved us. And you give a Valentine to somebody you love. And when He gave us Jesus, He gave us the greatest Valentine that anybody could give mankind. I want you to just think about the love of God for just a minute this morning. I want you to understand that God's love is an everlasting love. Do you ever stop and think God loved you before you were born? I mean, maybe before your mom and dad were born, before your grandpa and grandma were born, God knew that you were going to be born, and God loved you. I mean, God, before the creation of the world, before He spoke the worlds into His existence, before He put the planets in their orbit, and before He put the sun and the moon in the sky, God knew about you as an individual. And before He created the earth, He said, "I am going to love that person." They're not going to be born for hundreds, thousands, maybe millions of years. But I've decided right now, I am going to love that person. It's an everlasting love. It has no beginning, and this morning I will tell you it has no end. Amen. God is going to love every single person for all eternity. Every single person that goes to heaven, and yes, my dear friend, God for all eternity will love every single person that goes to hell. Now, that love is not going to cause Him to back off from His judgment of sin. The wages of sin is death. But my God will love every sinner that spends eternity in hell because He has an everlasting love. It's an unconditional love. When God decided to love us before we were born, He already knew what kind of person we were going to be. He already knew what kind of life we were going to live. But He said, "It doesn't make any difference. It doesn't matter. My love is going to be extended to that person that decides to do wrong, just like it is to that person that decides to do right." I'll just tell you this morning, all of us decided to do wrong. That's what the Bible talks about when it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." But the Bible also said, "But God proved or commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And there's nothing, listen to me, there's nothing that you can do. I don't care if you're saved this morning. I don't care if you've never received Christ as your Savior. There is nothing that you can do to separate yourselves from the love of God. Amen. You can reject Christ. You can go to hell, but again, God is still going to love you, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, so I'll save that point. It's an unconditional love. It's a caring love. It's a caring love. Do you know that we have a God in heaven that wants to take care of us? We do. He said in the book of 1 Peter, "Cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." You haven't got a God that's not involved. You haven't got a God that doesn't know what's going on in your life. You haven't got a God that's surprised by the circumstances of your life. God knows everything that goes on in our life, and He cares for us. It's a preparing love. John chapter 14, "In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you." You know how you do when company's about to come, especially company that you want to have, company that you haven't seen in a long time? You know what you do. You prepare for them. I always used to love to go and visit Debbie's grandmother because she would always prepare for us. And I felt like after I married into the family that she prepared just for me. Because when I got down there, she would always have my favorite food, my favorite desserts, my favorite candy bars. I mean, she's part of the reason I'm in the shape that I'm in today. But she always made me feel very, very special because when she knew that we were coming, she got everything ready. I want to tell you something. That's what God's doing for us this morning. He knows we're coming. And I know the Bible talks a little bit about heaven, but I'll just tell you this morning, we don't know anything yet. I know there's going to be a street of gold. I know there's going to be gates of pearl. I know there's going to be no night. I know there's going to be no pain. I know He's going to wipe away all tears. But I tell you what, that's just scratching the surface. Just scratching the surface. Paul said, hey, I went up there one time. Don't know if I was in the body or out of the body. But he says, I just can't describe it to you. Words don't exist to describe it. And the love of God is a preparing love. And then finally, the love of God is an all-inclusive love. There's nobody left out. That's why in that verse it says, for God so loved the world. The world. Every single person that's ever been, I was going to say born, but I tell you what, every single person that's ever been conceived. Because God loves the little babies that were aborted just like He loves everybody else. Every single person, all inclusive, nobody left out, nobody left behind. And God knows that love always results in giving. And so again, we go back to our text verse, for God so loved the world that He gave. The Bible tells us that God is love. And what it's saying is God is a giver. He's a giver. We're going to talk about the value of His gift in just a minute. But I'll point out to you that He gave us the most precious thing that He had when He gave us His only begotten Son. And it's and what I want you to understand this morning as I finish up on this point is that it is God's nature to give. He is love, and so He gives. I read a story about a widow who had a little girl, and she had to go to work after her husband died to support herself and her daughter. And one winter, her little girl got very, very sick. And her mom had to leave her by herself. She put her to bed in the morning and prepared her lunch and left it there. And then she would go to work and work all day, 12 hours, and then come back home to take care of her daughter. And her daughter just got worse and worse. She couldn't afford to take her to the doctor, so her daughter got sicker and sicker. And one day she came in and her little girl said, Mommy, I would really love to have some grapes. Just really love to have some grapes. Of course, it was winter time, and it was grapes are expensive. And so the mom said to her little girl, I said, Honey, I'd love to be able to buy you some grapes, but I just don't know if I can or not. It's taking all our money, all the money I make just to buy food. And I don't know if I can afford to buy grapes. And so one day when she was on her way to work, she took a new route to work, a new way to work. And she passed it through a new part of town, a part of town she'd never been through before. And in this part of town, she saw something she'd never seen before. It was a big, gigantic hothouse, a greenhouse. And she looked through the windows and she saw in this greenhouse tons and tons of grapevines that were just ripe with grapes. And she knocked on the door and a man came to the door and she said, Sir, I don't have much money. I just got one shilling, like a penny or two in our money. He said, Could I just buy a couple bunches of grapes? And the man said, No, these grapes are not for sale. In fact, I shouldn't even be talking to you. Just go away. They're not for sale. They're not for the public. And the lady said, Well, maybe it takes more than one shilling. And so she scraped and saved, and a week later she went back by this greenhouse and she knocked on the door, and the same man came to the door and she told him the same story. She says, My little girl is sick at home and she wants some grapes, and if I could just get her some grapes, I think she'd feel better. And the man said, I told you the grapes are not for sale. And the lady said, But I've got twice as much money as I had before. I've got two shillings. Would you sell me just, even if it's just a few grapes, would you sell me a few grapes for a couple of shillings? And she noticed that a young girl had come up behind the man, and she had heard her story. And this young girl said, Hey, why don't you come in? Let me give you some grapes. And she gave her a container, this young girl did, to the mother. She gave her a container, and she began to go around to the different vine branches and cut off the grapes. and put them in this container. And the mother said to the young girl, I don't have a lot of money. I've only got 2 shillings. And the young girl said, well, these grapes are not for sale. This is the king's greenhouse. These grapes are not for sale. The king doesn't want your money. The king wants to give you these grapes. I'm his daughter. I know my dad. He would want me to give you these grapes. And so she loaded up the container with grapes, and the lady said, but I would like to give you my 2 shillings. I know they can't pay for all the grapes you give me, but I'd like to at least pay a little bit. And the princess says, oh no, you don't understand. The king's grapes are not for sale. The king's grapes are given as a gift. And in the same way, the love of God is not for sale. We cannot pay God back for the love he's extended to us. He gives it to us as a gift. Second thing about Valentine's Day that God understands is that the value of the gift expresses the depth of the love. You see, God owns everything. We sang that little chorus. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mine. And he could have, out of his abundance, given us something that was valuable. When he decided to give, he could have gone to the mines of the earth. He could have gone to all of nature, and he could have picked out something that he had a lot of and said, hey, I love you. I want to express that love. This is a valuable gift, and I want to give it to you. God said, I don't want to give out of my abundance. I want to give you the thing that I only have one of. I want to give you my only begotten son. Only one. I can't help but think of that story when Jesus was sitting at the treasury in the temple. All these guys came and they just took their wallets or whatever they carried their money in, maybe bags, and they dump them in this container, and it'd make a lot of noise and draw a lot of attention. And Jesus was sitting there one day, and a widow came. She only had 2 mites, less than a penny. And she secretly went up to the collection spot and she dropped them in, trying to draw as little attention to herself as possible. And Jesus noticed and he said to his disciples, this little widow has given more than everybody else. Because everybody else gave out of their abundance and they have plenty left over. She gave all that she had and has nothing left over. Do you know that's what God did for us? It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave us the most valuable possession that he had, because he only had one. And then number 3, God understands about Valentine's Day, because when he gave us Jesus, his hope is that we'll love him back. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God could have made us to say, he could have made each one of us and said, you will receive Jesus. But he didn't do it that way. He gave every single one of us a free will. He gave every single one of us the ability to decide for ourselves. You get to choose what you do with the Valentine that God gave you. I get to choose. We have 2 options. We can take it, or we can reject it. Now, we take it when we come the way the Bible says and say, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know there's a penalty for sin. I know that you paid my penalty for me. And I receive the gift of salvation that you've purchased for me. And you know, I got a couple minutes. I'm just going to park here for just a second. not in my notes this morning, but I'm not using my notes, so I'll just throw this in. Did you ever invite somebody to lunch or dinner to a restaurant, and you take them and say, "Hey, look now, this is going to be my treat. So whatever you want, you just go ahead and order. And when the bill comes, I'm going to pay for it." And so you order, and they order, and you enjoy a delicious meal. And then when the bill comes, they fight you for the bill. Ever happened to you? Huh? Yeah, happened to me too. And I wonder how many times we do the same thing to God. He says, "This is a gift. It's my gift to you. I don't want you to fight me for the bill. Like we could pay for it. Look, God, and I'm gonna stay here for a minute so that everybody understands. God doesn't want our goodness to try to pay him back for Jesus. As if we could. Because all our goodness, all our righteousness, the Bible says, are as filthy rags. Now, he wants our obedience, but he doesn't want us to come to him and say, "Hey God, I've got some morality. I've got some goodness. We'll put that with Jesus." No. No. That's not the way it works. It's not Jesus plus our morality. It's not Jesus plus our goodness. It's all Jesus. And until we come to the point where we realize that we are spiritually bankrupt and that we have nothing to offer to put alongside Jesus, we can't accept, we can't understand and fully appreciate what God has done for us. I mean, as long as you think you have something to contribute to your salvation, you're missing the point of the whole thing. We have nothing to contribute. Jesus did it all. And all God wants you to do is take that gift. And the Bible says if you'll do that, you'll have everlasting life. Now, we have second choice, and that's to reject it. And I'll be honest with you. I don't understand how people can reject the gift of Christ. I tell you what, I have a hard time understanding children that don't love their parents. I have a hard time understanding that. I have a hard time understanding how a mom and dad can give their life for their children and then their children not love their mom and dad. I have a tough time understanding how come husbands and wives don't love each other. I mean, I've had people come to talk to me about their relationship, and they tell me, one of the questions I ask them, I says, "Well, tell me about your husband. Tell me about your wife." And so many times they'll go through a list of all the good things that they've done for each other. And I sit back in my chair and I say, "Well, how come you guys don't love each other? How come you don't love each other?" And the thing that's hardest for me to understand is how God sent his only begotten Son to die in our place, and there's people that will reject him and not love him. It's awful, awful hard not to love somebody that loves you. It's awful hard. You got to fight it. And you got to do it on purpose. It doesn't come naturally. What comes naturally is to love back. To love back. And I have a tough time understanding how people would reject the love of God and not love him back. So let me ask you this morning. God sent us all a Valentine. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Have you taken it? If you're here today and you've never received Christ as your Savior, I invite you to take it. I invite you to receive the Valentine, the greatest Valentine that any person ever got. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for that love. Thank you for loving us so much. Us as an